If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The devil is fighting the church. And if you smite the shepherd, you scatter the sheep. He ain't fooling around trying to get to you. He's trying to kill me. Because he knows that if I can smite him, if I can discourage him, if I can disappoint him, if I can get him depressed, I can get him out of here. And then I can destroy the sheep. You don't take a prayer position and then show up when you want. You don't take a prayer position and then stay out when you don't feel good. You don't take a prayer position and visit when you have service here. Not if you're an intercessor. Everybody else can, but not intercessors. They are called to war 24/7. Just go with me, because this is not in my scripture. So apparently God is saying something as he equips Bethel for war. We've had 29 years of great, great spiritual success. And the enemy has been subtle enough to do two things. Plant the people that he wanted here and remove those that he doesn't. He removes people by helping them focus on stupidity. Somebody's not speaking to me. I'm leaving. Pastor won't let me preach. I'm leaving. I don't like it there. I'm leaving. And the devil says, yeah, that's right. Go. Go. They're not using you. Go. Go. Go on over and do such and such. Go do so and so. Now, yes, God has rams in the bush. But that's secondary. Why is he coming against us so with such ferocity right now? Why did God speak to me and say, prepare a 21-day fast for this church? 10 days, omitting one meal a day. 10 days, omitting two meals a day. And on the 21st day, no food at all. He has never given me such clear direction as he did 2 weeks ago. Why? Why is there a dark cloud coming towards our church that used to be held off by prayer? Why is there no prayer covering to fight it in the heavenlies? Where's the fire? God said, the people don't know how to pray. Week after week, people come traipsing up here to the pulpit, and we tell the people it's time for prayer, and the stuff that is heard is not prayer. It's just foolishness. Why? Because we don't know how to pray. How many of us here can honestly say, since I became a Christian, someone set me down and taught me how to pray? Prayer, like so many other things in our lives, we think we know how to do it because we've watched other people do it. But yet the disciples said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Jesus gives us these compartments. How many of you have the courage to say, Lord, teach me how to pray? Yeah, you can have these compartments. But what is the most vital, the most crucial aspect of your prayer? Go to Romans chapter 8. Why? Because we are about to enter into something that we've never had in 29 years. A level of spiritual warfare is coming against our ministry, which encourages me because it tells me that the devil fights harder just before. When did Pharaoh kill all the boys? When he heard Moses was born. When did Herod kill all the children? When he heard Jesus was born. Why is he trying to come against us? Because we're going to be a place of healing and miracles. I fully expect two things to happen. I expect folk to leave, and I expect new folk to come. Because everybody that shouts and dances can't stand what's about to come. I fully expect the level of warfare to be intense, because it's been intense on me. And so God allows the leader to go through it first so that he will be able to encourage you when you go through it. Watch Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities. Infirmity here is weakness, not sickness. He helps our weaknesses. Listen carefully. For we know not what we should pray for. It doesn't say we don't know how to pray. It says we don't know what we should pray for. Here's a good example. You go to the hospital. You go to see Aunt Susie or Uncle Joe. They've been sick for a while. You go in praying for their healing, but it may be their time to go. You don't know what to pray for. I like to pre-pray before I go in to pray. When I'm getting out of my car in the parking lot, I say, Father, what's your will? How should I pray about this issue? When I went to see Sister Debbie Despot up there in Willow Grove, other side of Willow Grove area, and I parked my car and I went and I said, Father, how do I deal with this? He gave me a psalm and a song. And he said, just go in and read the psalm and sing the song. And that's what we did. I read Psalm 100. And we sang a little song, and we had a little bit of church, and I prayed with her, and I left. God called her into his presence. It was her time. She said, Pastor, I'm so glad you're here, but I'm tired. She said, I've been dealing with this for over 13 years, and I'm tired. I didn't pray, Father, raise her up in the name of Jesus. We sang songs and released her into the hand of the Lord. Now we struggle because we say, but God, you said if I say, because of a capitalistic mindset of prayer says that God is obligated to do whatever you think necessary. I would rather God call me home when it's my time than leave me around just so you can feel good about your prayer. I have eternal life. I would like to have quality of life, but I don't want God to leave me around needing somebody to help me go to the bathroom and help to feed me, and I can't get out of bed, and if I get up, I can't sit down. If I sit down, I can't get up. I don't think that's what God wants for me. Let me check out while I'm still able to do. We holding on to people. They don't even recognize you when you come to visit. And we praise the Lord. As long as there's life, there's hope. That's not life. Because we don't know how to pray for things. We don't know what to say. What I'm saying to you right now, some of you are sitting there saying, I can't believe he's saying that. You don't know what God is going to do. Then let him do it. When my mother died and went home to be with the Lord, I went home and I was in agony. You know how God comforted me? He said it wasn't between you and me. It was between your mother and I. And she wanted to come. I was done at that point. She wanted to leave. How do I pray? That's what Romans is saying. How do you pray? We don't know what we should pray for as we ought to. What do you ask God? I'm going to tell you something that's going to really help you if you're open-minded. You really don't have to use prayer to change stuff. You use prayer to get you to accept what comes. Listen carefully. If you truly believe in the sovereignty of God, first, and secondly, if you truly believe that God is good, then the third realization comes. Because he's so good, whatever comes is good to or for me. Why would I want to change what's good for me? I'll tell you the attitude that I've adopted. It don't matter anymore. It don't matter anymore. I had a personal agony that lasted over 4.5 years. A personal agony that lasted over 4.5 years. Took my sleep, took my joy, just completely messed over me. I called myself standing on the word of God. I had six, count them, six words from the Lord concerning a situation. Six. Five of them were wrong. Only one person told me the right thing. One person. And what they told me wasn't what I wanted to hear. 4.5 years of prayer, fasting, everything. Then the worst thing that could be said was said. And after the worst thing that could be said was said, I said, well, forget about it. I don't care no more. It's up to you now. You got it. When God dealt with it, in a few days, he dealt with it, that it became so surreal to me. It was almost as if this wasn't happening. He was not standing by me. Where was he for the first 4.5 years of my prayer about it? You know what he had the audacity to say to me? The unmitigated gall, the nerve to say to me, he said, you ain't give it to me before. You had it. And you went and asked everybody else who couldn't do anything about it. He said, but now you gave it to me because you had no more options. You know what my prayer was? God, do whatever you want to do. And he was able to do whatever he wanted to do. Because prayer makes you get out the way. Prayer doesn't make you stand there and keep trying to help God. Prayer says, God, I'm through. You got it. That's what prayer is.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
10115P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Exciting news! Bethel has gone prime time. Bethel's broadcast schedule now includes WTVE Channel 51 Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Our regular broadcast will continue on WPPH Channel 50s on Sunday evenings at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. Tune in to get a word from the Lord. Praise it.